Hello, and welcome to the 11th episode of A Good Book Review, a podcast wherein we sit down and review a wide variety of books which have been written for a Christian audience. In today's unique episode, I am joined by co-host Alex Daniels, as per usual, but also we've been graced with the presence of Mr. John Carl Soup Hopple as our guest co-host. John, welcome onto the podcast.
Thank you, Chase.
It is a pleasure to get to have John, who is currently studying at Colorado Christian University, on with us here.
All right. On today's edition, we are once again sitting down with the wonderful Nick Rohn, inquiring about his thoughts with regards to Joe Rigney's book, The Things of Earth. This work was published by Crossway in 2014, is available on Amazon for $16.40.
Nick currently serves at Bethlehem Baptist Church on the South Campus in the Twin Cities. His role is the Ministerial Director for Adult Discipleship and Outreach. Preceding that, Nick himself graduated from Bethlehem College and Seminary with an MDiv, a Master's of Divinity. And Nick, welcome back to the podcast, and we are so grateful for taking time to talk with us.
So glad to be here. Man, Alex, you grew a beard since the last time we talked.
Dang it!
I never knew you could do that.
Alex has wildly infertile hair glands, so that's funny. Having said that...
And Nick has aging ones.
Okay, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, question number one of the podcast. Typically, when Alex and I go about designing new episodes for the podcast, we will seek out, first of all, the guest, and then we will inquire after that which book they would like to speak on. So Nick, when I initially reached out to you, this was a matter of months ago, this book was near the top of your list. And if I recall correctly, you described it as a really good follow-up to John Piper's Desiring God.
Yeah.
So a couple of questions stemming from those thoughts. The first one, why is it, Nick, that this came to your mind so quickly when I asked you for a recommendation? And secondarily, how important is it to our listeners to first read Desiring God prior to reading this book by Rigney?
Yeah, that's great. I'm actually going to answer the second one there first.
Absolutely.
So it's pretty important, but not necessary for readers to have read Desiring God first. And it's important because this is literally an answer to Desiring God. It's a book that actually flows from everything that John Piper unpacked in Desiring God. Now, Rigney, he does a good job explaining it and, you know, talking about what Desiring God was about and how the books relate. But it's really helpful to have read Desiring God first. And so then this book came to my mind so quickly because, well, number one, we've already talked about Desiring God. But the number two, the premise of Desiring God leads you to a natural question. And that's, if we're supposed to find our ultimate delight and joy in God himself, well, then what about the things of earth that we find pleasure in as well? Mm. Are we not supposed to enjoy anything else? You know, are we supposed to just become monks and live an ascetic life,
right,
and take away all earthly joys? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that Joe really seeks to address in this book. So it's just that natural outflow from a Desiring God that Joe seeks to answer. And that's why I thought it'd be so good to talk about.
Sweet.
Okay. The subtitle of the book is Treasuring God by Enjoying His Gifts. Presumably, this is his operating premise for the entire book. Can you summarize Rigney's primary thesis throughout the book?
Yeah. So his main point for the book is that, okay, like I just said, if we're supposed to enjoy God, what about God's gifts? Mm-hmm. And his main point in the book is that we should not discard the things of earth, but rather we should enjoy them more fully as a means of worship to God. Mm. And so what he's saying is that God gives us everything to enjoy, right? He gives us good gifts. He's the Father of lights from which all good gifts flow. And when we enjoy the gifts, what are we doing? We're glorifying the giver. Mm-hmm. We're saying, man, the one that gave me this gift, he is ultimately good. He's the one that gave me this beautiful thing. So, sure, you know, all those things that we love and enjoy rightly and properly in this world flow from God himself. And when we enjoy those things in the way they're meant to be enjoyed, that glorifies God. Hmm. So that's kind of the main point, and he talks about that in great detail.
Nick, could you describe the ideal person whom you'd recommend this book to?
Yeah, Joe actually says that himself. So I'll just read what he writes. Here's what Joe says. He says, this book is written for people who sincerely want to glorify God in all that they do, but find themselves wrestling with what the God-centered life actually looks like in practice. It was written for people who struggle with whether they love God's gifts too much and whether they love God enough. It was written for people who find themselves frustrated that the world seems designed to distract them from a single-minded pursuit of Christ alone. Mm. It was written for those who embrace a passion for the supremacy of God in all things, but feel the tension between the supremacy of God and the all things. So that's, if you've ever felt that wrestling in your soul, how do I glorify God and then enjoy pizza? You know, this book is for you.
Okay. For many of our listeners, it might be easy for them to want to read a John Piper book, since Piper has become a fairly well-established and highly credible pastor and author. This situated ethos might be a bit harder for Joe Rigney to appeal to, despite the fact that he may be fairly well-known in smaller circles, like here at Bethlehem. As a graduate here from Bethlehem, Nick, you're kind of in a unique position with respect to your proximity to Mr. Rigney and also to John Piper. What would you say to the listener who is hesitant to read from authors of whom they have never heard, which perhaps Joe Rigney may be in this particular case?
I just say branch out, man. That's silly. You got to expose yourself to a wide variety of voices maybe that you've never heard of. I mean, there was a time that I had never heard of John Piper.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine never have been reading any of his books. Right. So there's is some point when you got to jump into people that you don't know. And Joe, I mean, he's just a brilliant guy. Such a clear thinker. He taught when I was in seminary, he taught a class on the theology of Jonathan Edwards. Mm. And it's the most mind-blowing foundational class that I've ever had. So he's worth checking out.
As far as people who are especially infatuated with title and role, I believe Rigney is now the second chancellor at Bethlehem, isn't he, at the school?
No, he just got elected to be the next president.
President, that's yes. What I meant to say. Okay, yep. Very cool. So for what that's worth, he's also that, yeah.
Okay. In his book, was there a single concept that was most influential for you when you first read it? If so, what was it?
Yeah, just the whole idea of glorifying God through his gifts is just a needed follow-up to Piper's enjoying God above all things. Mm. And so, like, I have found time and time again it to be true that finding ultimate joy in anything other than God doesn't last. It doesn't work. You know, it's just not going to satisfy as deeply as God will. But then, like, that has to be worked out in practical life, right? Mm-hmm. You know, you have to be able to enjoy your family, and you have to be able to take joy in your work and in the works of your hands and things like that. And so he deals with more in depth that necessary follow-up to Piper's book. And the reason it's such a necessary follow-up is because people can feel guilty, mm-hmm. right? You can feel guilty, man, I don't enjoy God enough because I find myself really liking this movie. Right. You know what right. I mean? Like yes. Something like that.
Yep,
and that's what Joe is going to say is that, I mean, if the movie is sinful, that's one thing. But if it's not, then that's a false guilt. Mm-hmm. If you're using it to enjoy it as a pointer to mm-hmm. God yeah. and who he is. Okay. And so that's just such a practical, everyday thing that we all have to learn how to do. Mm-hmm. And he talks about it better than anyone I've ever heard.
So for listeners that might be branching out for newer authors, reading new books might come with new surprises. So what is one thing about this book in particular that you might think could surprise a new reader?
Yeah, I think that it could be surprising for some people. Number one, that Joe says, no, actually, you should enjoy the things of the earth. Mm-hmm, yeah. So there's that old hymn line, and turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full on his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Mm-hmm. And Joe says, actually, that's completely wrong. He says, in the light of God's glory and grace, the things of earth grow strangely bright because they're meant to be used and enjoyed to their fullest capacity in order to enjoy God. Mm-hmm. That's surprising, right? Yeah, that's a surprising way to put it. Now, I don't think that the author of that hymn necessarily meant good things of earth. I think they probably meant, you know, worldly sure. things, worldly passions and things yep. like that. Yep. Those things, in the light of God's glory, they do grow dim. And, I mean, let's be honest, in the light of God's glory and grace, everything grows dim, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Even the good things. Mm-hmm. But right. Joe says, actually, you can use the things of earth in a maximally God-glorifying way where they actually grow brighter.
Yeah, enjoying them more fully.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Yes. Yep. And so that's kind of a surprising twist that Jill brings into the book. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's such a logical conclusion, too, to come to after desiring God, just the Christian hedonism argument that Piper presents there. That's cool. Nick, our seventh question here, eighth, if you will. What sort of time commitment must a reader be willing to invest in order to properly enjoy this book?
I'd say it's going to take a fair amount of investment. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, written with technical language or anything like that. People can understand it, but boy, Joe goes deep. And I mean, he's a college professor at heart, and so he's just a deep thinker. He's not going to just scratch the surface on these things. Mm-hmm. He's going to push this concept into the corners of life and use scripture examples and just talk about how it applies. So you're going to have to exercise your mind, but it's going to be totally worth it. I mean, the book's not that long. It's like 220 some pages. But yeah, you're going to have to think, but it's going to be worthwhile.
Okay. Would you consider this like a book that a reader can come back to often, or once you read it once you're done, you can put it on the shelf and maybe quote it from time to time?
Definitely you should come back to it. I'm not a guy who fully just like rereads books in full very often.
Yep.
There's only one book that I've read like five times. That's East of Eden by John Steinbeck. Such a good book.
You haven't reread the Bible?
Come on, Nick. Jeez.
Yeah. Yep. This is totally a book that I go back to for quotes, for lines, to just refresh myself on concepts that have just shaped the way that I think about life in general and view things. So I probably won't reread the whole thing in full, but boy, I think about it all the time.
As readers are starting to read this book, is there anything that is in this book that the readers could find confusing or maybe misconstrued?
Yeah, I think maybe not necessarily confusing, but definitely something that, I mean, all good things can be taken the wrong way.
Right, mm-hmm. Right.
And there's ways to abuse everything. And so one way that could happen is people could say, oh, man, I'm supposed to enjoy the world, right?
Yeah.
And then they could take that to an extreme and not be aware of idolatry of the heart, where the things of the earth can actually replace God in our affections. And, I mean, we know, you know, John Calvin, our hearts are idol factories, right? Yeah. They just make little idols all the time. And so people could use this book as, if they read it wrongly, and use it just as an excuse to dive headlong into worldly passions and things in a way that's God ignoring.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not right. And Joe answers that in the book.
Mm.
He's aware of that danger, and he tries to head it off at the pass. It's interesting. Both this book and Desiring God are about Christian hedonism, but they come at it from different perspectives.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So John Piper, he sees the greatest danger in society today as people ignoring God, right? Mm. And trying to find their joy in everything but God. So he comes at Christian hedonism from the perspective of, no, the object of our delight should be God, right? And him alone, he's most worthy, he's most satisfying, he's our ultimate treasure. Joe looks around, and in the context that he's been in, he says, man, I've grown up in this reformed, you know, context, you know, this next generation, if you will, from Piper. Mm-hmm. And I just don't see people knowing how to like interact with good things,
right?
Good gifts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so what glorifying God means in that context isn't to just reject them, but to use them as a means of worship in and of themselves. And so they're both talking about the same thing, but they're just coming at it from different perspectives and different emphases from their own personal experiences. And so it's almost like two sides of the same coin.
Mm.
And one corrects the other, and then another one corrects the other. And when you hold them both in perfect tension, which is almost impossible for us to do.
Right.
But when you hold them both in perfect tension, that's it. That's how you should live.
That's awesome.
How necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. Nick, looking at the book, I see you got some dog-eared pages. Question would be, did you have a favorite quote or a favorite passage? And if so, would you be willing to read it for our listeners?
Yeah, so I just thought this was such a great summary of what the book does. He starts by quoting Proverbs 24, 13 and 14. It says, "My son, eat honey, for it is good, and the drippings of the honeycomb are sweet to your taste. Know that wisdom is such for your soul. If you find it, there will be a future, and your hope will not be cut off." So here's what Joe says about that passage. He says, "Why did God make honey so tasty and sweet? So that we would have some idea of what wisdom is like. At least that's one reason. The sweetness of honey points beyond itself to the wisdom of God. Honey is good, and we are exhorted in Psalm 34 to taste and see that the Lord is good. Our souls have taste buds, just like our tongues, and we can train the soul buds by exercising the tongue buds." And it's just great. He's awesome. Mm-hmm. "We savor the sweetness of honey or tea or pumpkin crunch cake, and in the moment engage in a fancy bit of reading. In transposing the physical enjoyment of taste onto our souls and offering thanks to God, not only for the simple pleasures of food, but for the spiritual pleasures to which the food is but a fitting echo. But this means, and this is so important, that we can't short circuit the enjoyment of the honey. In order for us to gain the full spiritual benefit of the honey, we must really enjoy its sweetness." Mm. "There must be a savoring of honey as honey before there can ever be a savoring of honey as a pointer to the divine wisdom."
Yeah. Wow.
So that's, Joel spends the whole book unpacking that. We have to fully enjoy the gift in order to actually taste an echo of the sweetness of God.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Nick, could you peek back at that quote really quick and just tell me what page number and maybe what chapter it is for our listeners who maybe have obtained the book and are listening to this podcast in retrospect, for those who are interested to hear the context of that?
Yep, that's in the chapter called, I think it's chapter 3, Creation as Communication. And it's on page 71.
Great, thank you.
Awesome. Now, this is the first time I've ever heard of Joe Rigney. Is there any other books by him that you'd recommend?
Yeah, he has a great book called Live Like a Narnian.
I saw that on Amazon when I looked at his name.
And so Joe's like a C.S. Lewis aficionado. and he just unpacks the world of Narnia in a way that just makes you enjoy it again as an adult.
Oh, man.
It's so good. I would really recommend that book as well.
Sweet. All right. Thanks, Nick. Well, that was our final question for this episode. So again, we want to thank you so much for joining us on episode 11 for the second we've had you as a guest. We appreciate it a lot, Mr. Roland.
Yep, you bet.
All right. And if you, the listener, enjoyed hearing Nick's analysis on today's program, feel free to go back and listen to episode 4 on which Nick reviewed John Piper's Desiring God.
And Nick will also be featured, the featured guest in episode 20, where maybe not myself, but Chase and Alex here will look forward to hearing his thoughts on John Lehman's book, How the Nations Rage.
Yeah, we will. Also, I just want to give a quick plug. Nick is also a superb little blog author for Desiring God, so feel free to check him out on there. And I just learned recently about a podcast that you can look up. It's called, what is it? It's Pastors something.
Pastoring Out Loud.
Pastoring Out Loud, which is the Southern Bethlehem Baptist leadership team or something.
Bethlehem South Campus. Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
I'll get the lingo down eventually.
Good job, Chase.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Besides those two areas, Nick, what are some other ways that our listeners could look to hearing more from you or possibly getting in touch with you if they wanted to?
Yeah, if you want to reach out, feel free to go to our church website, bethlehem.church. Click on the South Campus, and I will be there in the staff directory.
All right. As always, if you're interested in contacting us here at A Good Book Review, please feel free to send us an email at agoodbookreviewpodcast@gmail.com.
Everyone, thank you for listening. Nick, thank you for your time, and we will be back soon with episode 12.
Yeah, we will.